What up, world? It's your boy E letting you know we are now proud members of the Visionaries Global Media family. That's right, catch us Wednesdays on Visionaries Global Media.
Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
What up, world? It's your boy E coming at you from the Nattering with E Studios, letting you know that we are now proud members of the Visionaries of Global Media family. Catch us Wednesdays and sometimes some other random days, and check out some of the other shows too. Band from Ringside, led by JCB, Good Cop, Bad Cop, with Graham, Matt, and Ryan, and our favorite pod, ROH Revelry, with Will and High Five Tom, every Saturday. This is Nattering with E, with Eric Friedlander. What up, world? It's your boy E coming at you from the Nattering with E Studios. I am joined today by the man, the myth, the legend, the future of professional wrestling, Mr. Sean Lussier. I hope I pronounced your last name right.
Yeah, you did. It's all good. And you forgot the Canadian sociopath.
Oh, the Canadian sociopath. Last time Sean was with SJ and I, Sean is SJ's nephew. It's nephew, yes. Not cousin, right?
Yeah, it's nephew.
Nephew, gotcha. Sorry, I had that botch last time where I was like, oh yeah, we got her cousin on. And it's like, no, he's my nephew. So I was like, fair enough. But yeah, the Canadian psychopath, Sean Lussier, is now here with us. You may remember from before, he is training at WWE Universal Champion Cody Rhodes' is Nightmare Factory. Cody Rhodes on the side of being the champion of the world, of the universe, actually, runs a wrestling training school for the next generation. And little does he know that probably the guy who takes the belt from him, Mr. Sean here, is who he's been training. So, Sean, what's going on, my friend?
Not a whole lot. Just been relaxing. I had a grueling week so far. It's been one hell of a week. Last week, did all the training Monday to Thursday. The only day off, that's actually my second day off. The only day off I had was Friday. And then I had to work two shows on Saturday, back to back. So I'm a little exhausted, but I'm here. I'm here now, aren't I?
Nice, man. Nice. Yeah, when you were like, yo, you want a podcast today? I was like, sure. Please, I'm down. So working the shows yesterday, were you in actual matches or were you like ring crew or?
No, I was actually the ring crew setting up the ring and taking it down.
Oh, how was that? Is that fun or?
Oh, it is. It's very fun. And then a little sneak peek is that if you turn into the Nightmare Family YouTube channel, This is to be announced, but June 15th, you'll be able to see my showcase and a bunch of other campus showcases. After we do our whole training segment, and if you're really interested in looking at other showcases, they have right now up to 13 showcases. So I'll be in showcase 14.
Wow, that's awesome, dude. That's amazing. Do you know in advance who you're going against, or like, is it still too far away for them to tell you?
It's still too far away, but we never know until the time comes, but they said around week 8, week 9, because it's around Cody's schedule, because he likes to be there. Because how they told us at the beginning is that Cody likes to have the people he trains the first match at the factory itself. So technically, the factory will be my official first match in the WWE world, or wrestling world, I should say.
That's amazing. Now, have you and Cody been pals throughout this, or is he like, listen, man, I'm giving you Lance Archer in your first showcase match?
Well, then, yeah, he's actually been really nice to us. for him and Lance Archer, for him versus him, me versus Lance Archer, I'm probably gonna end up being wasted like tenfold over. But we did something with the heat, something called a heat drill,
mm-hmm.
where we had our coaches, right? They come in and teach us how to sell the show, and it was fantastic. So technically, I was wrestling actual people who actually were in the factory. Also, the famous Billy Gunn was training us as well.
Wow, that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's cool. Did he do like any of his moves on any of you guys or no?
No, not me personally, but I know he did some double teams with another coach, which is Coach QT. So therefore, I was watching and then I was watching, and finally it was my turn to go in. Then I didn't face Billy or QT in the drill. But on the plus side, I wrestled other people that are in the factory as me, because we have like a little, I want to say, independent show for the factory people.
Oh wow!
I probably just bossed all that speech right up.
That's awesome. So like QT Marshall was one of the coaches. Hey, I'm just looking on here. It's
he's actually the one coach. Yep.
That's awesome, man. And wait, what the heck's happened to my computer? I was looking, I have it on another screen so I can ask you who these people are. But that's awesome. Like QT Marshall, so he's a nice, because he and Cody are best friends, right? Or something
yes.
along those lines. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause I still remember in storyline when the Nightmare Factory split in AEW.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh no, are they really buddies? Are they not buddies? But then it's like, it's not, it's storyline, man. They could still be pals. So,
well, yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of this, go ahead.
Yeah. And here's a little pop quiz. Actually, Cody came in one day. We watched the WCW Great American Bash with Rick Flair, Hulk Hogan,
mm-hmm.
and then at the end he bought us all pizza. So the WWE champion bought his class pizza, and we did a little pop quiz. One question that I knew but no one else did. Here's a question for you, Eric. Mm-hmm. Who was the first person to win the first Royal Rumble without switching it up?
Was it Hacksaw? It was Hacksaw, wasn't it?
It was Hacksaw. And you know how I know how if you remember that?
How?
Because the first Royal Rumble was actually Hacksaw's brainchild.
Oh wow, that's so he created that. Hey, Hacksaw Jim
Duggan.
Yes,
Duggan. He did.
That's amazing. He did. Yeah. That's great.
How many people know about that?
Yeah, that part I didn't know. I knew he was like in the beginning near the end of the match. Like I knew he was there, so I always guessed that it's either him or Bad News Brown, but it's for sure him who won.
Yes.
Yeah. That's awesome. So speaking of pay-per-views, did you watch Backlash yesterday?
I did, yes. I watched that before I started watching the local show that was at yesterday.
What a friggin' card, eh? Like, let me ask you a couple things here. One, what did you think of it being a smaller card? I see it's only 5 matches as opposed to their normal like 15 matches. So do you like smaller with like a lot of time for each match, or do you prefer like 14 matches on a card and then like 6 hours of wrestling? Like this was only, I think, 2.5 hours, if I'm not mistaken. So
me personally, I like it because there's small matches, so it gives them more time for people to like showcase them, like actually get into the show itself, not just like 2-3 minutes, pin, win, fall, done, next match. That's not how I see it.
Yeah, like it reminded me of like the NXT takeovers, you know, like they're usually a small card and then they But like they kill it in every match, pretty much. So.
Well, yeah. Here's a question. What do you think of the NXT polls for the draft?
Sorry, the NXT, and then you cut off.
Yeah, the NXT polls when the NXT members went to the main roster
Oh
because of
yeah.
their names.
Oh yeah. Like Dragunov and D-Jack and or sorry, Dijak and was Stratton already up there? Like she had already been called up. She wasn't on
Yeah, she was on there already. Yes, we think of Carmelo Hayes facing Cody for the title, the winning card called up. Well, not for a title, but like here I'm gonna I'm not gonna miss, but I will try and take you down.
Oh my God,
We think of that part.
that I was like super hyped for because like Hayes is the next generation pretty much right now. And so to see that he's like, hey, look, Cody, keep my title warm for me is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then like Dragunov going to the main roster. I heard there was talk of him being like replacing Giovanni Vinci in Imperium. And I'm like, no, don't do that, man. Like he's been Walter's greatest rival on the Indies and in NXT. So I'm like, I don't want to see him be a part of Imperium, you know?
Well, yeah, I like to see him go on his own. I mean, he's done phenomenal in his singles run on NXT. Pardon the pun. But yeah, I would like to see him and AJ go one on one.
Oh yeah, that would be fun. That'd be great.
It would be.
And what was another thing there? Dijak being drafted to Raw. I wonder two things. One is because he didn't really get over with Retribution, but I mean, who did? But then, do you think this new gimmick that he's doing, will work on a main show, or do you think he would have been better served staying in NXT?
Me personally, I think he this new gimmick that he has right now, it's still a work in progress, like for him to get the full character and whatnot. I think this new character has the potential to go to the main roster and win a title. But that's just one person's opinion on my part.
Yeah, I'd agree with that too. I don't know if he's necessarily like the character itself is ready to go up and be that next guy, but I mean, I'd love to see him in like an in a feud with literally Gunther or and Dragunov forget and even Co I don't know if he'd be good for Cody though. Like Cody could work him pretty well, but I don't know if like you'd never believe him necessarily to beat Cody, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, Dijak, he still has a lot of long way to go. I mean, I'm not bashing him or anything, but he still has a long way to go. Like everyone has a long way to go. Me personally, I'm far from done. Far
Nah.
from done.
Nah, your showcase match I'm expecting to be for like a showcase title or something like that, and then you could like go around the indies just like doing title matches and taking all the champs like in the old territories with like how Ric Flair would do it pre knowing Ric Flair was like a weirdo with ladies like that Ric Flair like you could take
You
on
mean,
people like that so.
oh, so you mean have a different woman every night for the rest of my life? I can see that.
Well,
That's what you're getting at. I know it.
that and the airplane thing. So I'm just like, no. Like I thought he was cool till that episode of Dark Side, but they were like, hey, Ric Flair like basically molested like three airline pilots, and we're just not going to talk about it till now. And it's like, oh man, that's the only thing I hate about Dark Side, you know, is where you're like, oh, this will be an interesting episode. But then you realize, wait, it's called Dark Side, which means that whoever you're like intrigued by probably did something really, really bad, which is why they're on the show. So.
Yeah, actually, I actually just watched the Sandman one last week.
Did you like that one?
I love the Sandman. I do, yes. Like, and I knew he had a drug problem and an alcohol problem. I mean, you could see it every time he comes out.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Sandman's an alcoholic. Oh, that doesn't surprise me. So.
Well, yeah, it's funny, because in Sandman's words, part of his dark side is that he told Paul Heyman personally that, yo man, I forgot my ring boots. Paul looked at him, he's like, no, I don't give a fuck about your ring boots. So that's when he started, no, I'm just gonna go out myself. Plain and simple. Those are his words, not mine, and sorry for the parental advisory.
Oh no, it's fine. It's fine. We drop a few F-bombs here and there on it there. But yeah, that's interesting. Well, it seemed like with ECW, like ECW was more edgy, right? So it doesn't matter to it. It wouldn't have mattered to Paul Heyman. But speaking of Paul Heyman, let's get into yesterday's card for Backlash. So Backlash took place from Lyon, France. One of the first one of the few European pay-per-views. And to say that crowd ruled would be putting it lightly because they were amazing. Like the chanting, the soccer chants, the like apparently Cole was saying on the broadcast that like they were this loud, if not louder, prior the hour prior to the show starting. And then we opened the show with Bloodline versus Kevin Owens and Randy Orton, and like they just can't control them. They just hate each other so much. Solo Sikoa, Tamatonga versus Kevin Owens and Randy Orton, and they're just brawling and they're beating the crap out of each other. I bet you they beat the crap out of each other like 10, 15 minutes before Nick Aldis came out and was like, "Nope, we'll just make it a street fight." And the street fight itself went 20 minutes. So I'm sure they were out there for like a good like 30, maybe even 40 minutes doing their thing.
Well, yeah, I could see that, but mind you, don't forget, all the pay-per-views this year are all over in the UK. So, and also, the prize that on SmackDown, did you read that WWE actually got a noise warning from the government?
Oh wow, really? No, I did not.
Yeah,
That's crazy.
they actually they gave WWE a warning for the loud noise.
See, the cool thing about that is that you know that like France, England, Germany, all these places, they don't get the WWE that often. So their fans go so hard because they're like, look, we want to show you that we can like be this crazy every time you come back to see us. So yeah, it's cool. So
They're trying to outshine the States and Canada, my personal opinion.
oh, 100%. 100%. Because there's some crowds that are just dead. And as you know, both as a fan and someone in training, like the crowd is basically half the match, right? Like if the crowd's dead and you put on a killer match, the match doesn't really matter, you know?
Well, yeah. And that's one of the first things they teach us is that in order to put on a good match, work the crowd. Like they said, is that when Triple H and Randy Orton were going one on one, I can't remember what pay-per-view it was, but Arn Anderson told them that, you know what, guys start small and then work way up. But and then they just laughed at that. And then when Randy Orton hit the RKO, Triple H broke the table. It was like a dead silence because they didn't work the crowd up. In order to work the crowd up, you need to start small and build up on the momentum that you're building. That's what I was taught.
Yeah, that makes sense. That does make sense. Like give them a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. That's usually why you see these matches that are like 20 to like 40 or sometimes even an hour. Like the first like 15 minute prime example would be Rock and Roman versus Seth and Cody was like the first 15 minutes, they're just literally soaking in like everything and like it's going kind of slow, but by the time they got to minute 16 to the end of the match, like it's crazy. The crowd saw it. They're into it. It turned into a really good match, actually.
Yeah, I personally like that match. That was actually a really good match, and Then find out when Cody finally finishes story. About time too.
Yeah, 2 years. 2 years of that. I was so hopeful that he would like he finishes his story, so maybe the Leafs will finish their story and beat Boston, but nope. So, oh, what can you do?
Yeah, there's nothing you can do on that part.
Yeah, exactly. So, this first match, Bloodline versus KO and Randy Orton. What did you think of the match, firstly? The shocking debut. And do you think the right team went over?
Yes, I do think the red team went over, and the shocking debut. I think that was the debut that everyone was waiting for, me personally. But the one signing I'm trying to wait for is, I know people could probably hate me, but I don't care, is MJF going to the WWE. So we'll see on that, how that happens.
Yeah,
Because I know
I'm.
the second he comes in, people are gonna start lining up.
Oh yeah, 100%. And to me too, he has to go to the main roster right away. Like I feel like if Vince was still in charge, he'd be like, "Oh yeah, we signed MJF and we're putting him in NXT." And it's like, no knock against NXT, but unless you're running it as a third brand or even a second brand to like Raw, like he's got to be on the main roster. He's been the world champ for the other company, I'll call them, and that's the guy that I mean. Right away, he has to challenge Cody. Like, I don't think he could come in as like Cody's backup if Cody was like, the Bloodline's back and I got to get some friends to help me and I have one specific friend and then MJF comes out. Like, I don't think it would work that way, you know?
No, I could see them using MJF once and if he signs WWE. I could see him using like as a mid card for right now, and then once the Bloodline gets a hold of him, like they did with Kevin Owens, like beat him down or whatever, what have you. That's when I could see them slowly teaming up, and then once the Bloodline is the dispersed, like completely, I could see them going after like a friend versus, I guess you could say, former protege, I guess you could say, in better words.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I could also see MJF versus Priest, and then he beats Priest for the World Heavyweight Championship. So that way they both have a title, Cody and MJF.
So there'd be a Classic Survivor Series champion versus champion match.
Oh, that would be cool too. I didn't even think of that. I thought about like the different brands because now, Undisputed Champion is specific to SmackDown, right? And then
Yes.
World Heavyweights to Raw. Yeah. So maybe they do it like that. They'd have Cody on SmackDown and they'd have MJF on Raw. Keep them apart, and then like Survivor Series, you could have like champion versus champion, you know? Because of that way, neither title's on the line. So.
Or to better yet, here's a nice idea for you. War Games SmackDown versus Raw. Champion of SmackDown is the captain. Champion of Raw is the captain. So it's basically who they choose to fit the shoes to go against the brand. What do you think of that idea?
That would be great, man. Who would you have on either team? Like, it sounds like you've thought about this further.
Well, for me, I would say for SmackDown, I would say, well, Cody be champion. I'm trying to think who else. What's his name? I have to look up the SmackDown roster. I know AJ Styles will be on that team, definitely. I'm trying to think who else. There's quite a few I totally spaced out. I don't know why.
Maybe LA
But
Knight? I don't know.
yeah.
I teed that up for you. I teed that up for you. And
Yeah, I
then,
kind of figured you did.
yeah.
How about you? Who'd you have?
For SmackDown, I'd probably have like Rhodes, Styles, KO, and Orton. And then,
Okay.
or if Roman comes back as a face, I'd have Roman on that one. And then I'd have the Raw team be all heels. So I'd have like MJF, Solo, Who the heck else? Maybe like a heel Seth Rollins, and Logan Paul is who I would have. I know he's on SmackDown, but like if I was picking the rosters, so MJF, Logan Paul, Seth Rollins, and Solo Sikoa versus Cody Rhodes, AJ Styles, LA Knight, and Roman Reigns. Like that would be a bonkers match, I think.
Yeah, it would. Here's my it'd be Cody for SmackDown. It'd be Cody, Cody, AJ, Karl Anderson, Luke Gallows, like have the traditional Bullet Club and Shinsuke in there.
Oh, nice. It's a good
Former
one.
Bullet Club, members against it'd be MJF, like it'd be. Former Bullet mem for former Bullet Club members versus I guess you I don't know if you put MJF like in like a new generation type Bullet Club for the for next generation. I could see him doing that way.
Oh,
But
yeah.
for him I could see Jey Uso will be on that one. So it'll be MJF, Jey Uso, and then the Creed brothers.
Oh, that would be a good team too. I forgot about that. So it was.
And then, and the big pick, just because he is one of my favorites, would be Otis.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great, man. That's great.
Or you use the get Otis and switch with Ricochet.
What did you think of Gable turning on? Well, the Gable Sammy thing I could kind of see. I kind of want to see heel Otis though. Like I want Alpha Academy to be heel with Gable.
I don't see them being it's hard to say. With Otis, he's a fun loving guy. I'm not gonna lie about that. He's a fun loving guy. He's kind hearted, kinda like me and a bunch of other people. I could see him going singles on his own. I mean he's athletic enough. But I would like to see him and Tucker go back together. Not a heavy machinery, though.
Oh yeah, that was a good tag team. I like
It
those guys
was.
for sure. I never got like when they turn Tucker heel, though, they're like, yeah, you're let go now. And it's like just keep them together as a heel team. Or like imagine having Heavy Machinery as Gable's like backup.
Kind of like the final testament with the AOP.
Oh yeah. There's talk actually that Gable might team up like ditch Alpha Academy and team up with the Creeds, like a heel Creeds. But I want to see not now that Tama Tonga is also in or Tangaloa is now in WWE as part of the Bloodline. I want to see God versus the Creed brothers. Like that match would rule. That would be amazing. So.
Yeah, I'm also waiting for Jacob to make his appearance too.
Yeah, see, what I read online was like everybody thought it would be Jacob Fatu who came and like saved the Bloodline from KO and Randy Orton, but it was Tagaloa. So I'm like, oh my God, like when Fatu comes, like I'm hoping that he's on the Bloodline team, not on the like good guy team, because he's a great heel, that guy.
Yeah, well, how I can see it happening is that I can see Roman coming back as a face and backing up Cody, well, Orton and Kevin, because and then they're gonna have Jay and Jimmy as faces going against their own family. I mean, you know what they say, if you fight with a family, that makes great TV.
Yeah. Also, there's so many like good tag teams now. Like I don't want to see this Owens Orton team be a one-off. Like I'd love to see like Rated RKO. Like that's a great friggin' that would be a great tag team name, you know?
Rated RKO that with the Edge and Randy Orton.
Oh no.
Got you on that one.
What are they called? The like it's RKO or something like that? It's their new team name, like KO and Randy Orton.
RKO show.
Oh, RKO show. Gotcha. Yeah, my bad, my bad.
No good.
Speaking of tag teams, and since we basically went through the card here, let's switch to the women's topics, and then we'll wrap up shortly after that. But so I'll go women's tag, and then we'll talk about the women's heavyweight, the women's championship match. So tag match: Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill versus the Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane. How did you like that match?
Kairi
Kairi Sane, yeah.
Sane. I fairly enjoyed it. Both all four women are athletic. But one thing that I know it was a botch is that when Kairi was pinning when she wasn't the legal, because Asuka was legal at the time. And they even said yeah, when that they said that was the actual botch. So that's when they had to change it like almost immediately, so that's why they picked up faster.
Yeah.
But I could
Sorry.
see Jade and Bianca holding the title for quite a bit until another powerhouse team comes along. How about you?
I like that match too. That botch that you were speaking of, I felt like it was the referee who screwed up, not the wrestlers. 'Cause if you notice, like, Kabuki Warriors has the match won against, was it Bianca or Jade that she was pinning? That
It
carried on?
was Bianca, I believe.
Right. So, and he's like, yeah, you're not the legal person. But then, once she gets up, he's like, no, you can only come out of this match when you tag Asuka. So then it's like, wait a minute. If that's the way that she can only get out of the match, but she's not the legal person, that should make her the legal person, no? And so I was very confused with that part. Like, it's sort of, I thought the match was going really well till that. And then it sort of like, if I had that match at like a 4 out of 5 stars, it moved into a 3 out of 5 because of like that botch. Because I think it took away from the match.
Yeah, it took the momentum away from both teams, my personal opinion. And I've been to a lot of indie a lot of shows, local shows out here, so I can tell when there's a botch happening.
Yeah, for sure. One thing that was awesome though is when Jade went from the power bomb to she transitioned to the electric chair and then brought her down to do the jaded. I was like, oh my God, like the strength to be able to do that, it was just unbelievable.
Well, yeah, actually a few times Jade came in and we watched her train a little bit. She lifts massive weights. That would put me to shame.
Yeah, with it. Well, at this right before the match even started, when she and Bianca are doing the flexing, like it sort of reminded me of the Mega Powers, with Hogan and Macho, where they
Yeah.
two like bodybuilder types who are, I just hope that they keep them together for a while, and then because I bet you how I would do it is Mania, they or around the Rumble, they split up and then. If you get like a heel Jade or a heel Bianca versus a face Jade for like final two in the Rumble, and then they face off for the women's championship, like that's your next year's WrestleMania main event, I think. Bianca versus Jade. And then the Kabuki Warriors, they're just fantastic wrestlers, like them and Io Sky and what's
Dakota
the
Kai.
Dakota Kai, yeah. That whole stable is great, and like you could have like Asuka and Io as a team. Heck, Io and Dakota were a good team when they were Damage Control, with Bayley. So I mean, there's plenty of talent there with the women's division. So I think they're in good hands to have like a lot of good feuds. Bianca and Jade up to that split at the Rumble if it happens.
Yeah, well, I could see Jade and Bianca holding the titles for a little bit. Yeah, I don't think they'll split them up right away because right now they're hot. As in, they keep winning. They have all the momentum going behind them. I could see them losing the title roughly close to either SummerSlam or the Rumble, like you said. Just so that you can give someone else a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. So the other match, the match that we'll close on, Bayley versus Naomi versus Tiffany. To me, this was one of the better match, like probably the best match of the night, I would think. Like Cody AJ is just like in its own category of awesomeness, but of the other four matches, I'd say Bayley versus Naomi versus Tiffany was it definitely stole the show. Like it was a very, very well worked match. And Bayley pinning Naomi and not Tiffany, I think teases an eventual Naomi heel turn because, like, as you know, in wrestling, when the champ has friends, it doesn't last too long for a friendship because everybody wants that gold belt. So.
Yeah, I know me. I know me. I'm hungry for the gold belt. Hence why I'm putting my body through hell.
Yeah, for sure, man, for sure. What did you make of this match, Bailey versus Naomi versus Tiffany?
Me personally, it's past versus present versus future.
Mm.
Like Bailey's the past, Naomi's the present, and Tiffany's the future. But she has to lose the whole Tiffy time garbage because me, every time she says that, it. You think she reminds me of a Barbie doll. I'm not gonna lie. She's a Barbie doll.
Yeah, she's only
And I'm
like
not yet.
23, right? Or something like that.
Something
25,
like that, yeah.
25. Yeah.
Yeah, but the way she reminds me of a Barbie doll. Like you know how I don't know if you've ever seen the Barbie movie or not. Because I know I've seen it twice. And it's she has to be more real, but not real at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. I could see Tiffany winning the female Money in the Bank, and then cashing in on either Naomi or Bayley if they fight for the title. That will be her time to shine.
Yeah, I'd agree with that for sure. Like that, but the way that she works, it's interesting because she does have, and she totally embraces that Barbie look. But then when she gets in the ring, she's vicious, man. Like when she did that, Alabama Slam first to, I think it was Naomi, and then second to Bayley, and, like those were brutal, brutal. Like it didn't break the table or anything, but like it was brutal just watching them like slam their heads down. They sold that like $1 million. So you could tell like the talent's there. Then like the best moonsault ever that she does is like really good too. So it's crazy.
It's the prettiest moonsault.
Oh, the prettiest moonsault. Yeah, you gotta give me an education on the language that they use for WWE. So but yeah, yeah, overall it was an excellent, excellent card, I would say. So, what do you think, what did you think of basically all the champions except for the women's tag retained? So do you think that was the right call or wrong call? Like Priest versus Jay, for instance, do you think Jay should have won or Priest still needs the title?
Me personally, I say Priest should hold the title for a little bit longer. I mean, Jay has the potential to become a champion. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he's a good guy as well, and he's been it all. But there's still some stuff that he needs to prove in a singles match before going for the big title. Like me personally, I would like to see him win the either Intercontinental or the United States first before going to like a big match like that.
Yeah.
Like just build up his momentum to make him more hungry than ever.
Yeah, I kind of
Yeah.
want him to win King of the Ring, but I see he's not even in it. So, at least on the Raw bracket. But I think he would, I think to me, and maybe I'm old school by thinking, but like winner of the King of the Ring tournament, winner of the Queen of the Ring tournament should get a title shot at like the next pay-per-view after that. So I think it's Clash at the Castle Scotland would be the next one. So
Yes. Well, see, I could see them doing that, but I don't see them doing that because and that would defeat the purpose of the whole Money in the Bank contract if they did it that way.
Well, like Money in the Bank, you have it for a year, right? But like if King of the Ring, you win it right away, or like you have to challenge by SummerSlam, I think it would be a good idea in the sense that like I don't know, I see what you're saying with Money in the Bank. But what I was gonna say is I like if Royal Rumble is the first half of this of the year and that winner gets the champ at WrestleMania, then like the winner of King of the Ring could get like King and Queen of the Ring could get the winner. I mean, could get the champ at SummerSlam, and then maybe like the person who's Money in the Bank winner could get like Survivor Series or Royal Rumble, or they could cash in whatever. Like we saw Priest hold it for almost a year before he cashed in on Drew. So,
Yeah.
but yeah, that's.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Well, to me, the King of the Ring is they need to they brought it back just so it'd be more entertainment, like a no holds bar type tournament type deal. That's what they did in the tournament they have is they have in the UK. I can't remember what it's called, but the stipulation is that you can't leave the t you can't jump over the top rope onto the ground, and you can't jump off the top rope on your opponent. It's a straight brawl. I can't remember what it's called.
Oh wow. That I'll look that up too. That's awesome, man. That's great. You know what I was thinking, actually, as we're still recording here, but I was thinking that maybe if you want, every time there's a pay-per-view, we could do an episode right after. Like we could just recap episodes. I mean recap pay-per-views if you want. Just in the future.
Yeah, well, we'll see what the schedule looks like because I'll be here for another, what, 5 to 6 weeks of training still, and it seems like we have a show to I have a show to do every Saturday, but we'll see how it plays out.
Sure, man. Yeah, that'd be great. That would be awesome.
Then if I have free time, I'll probably let you know and see what's going on.
Yep, that sounds great. So, in terms of where people could find you, same as before, just let SJ know that reaching out and then she'll get a hold of you, or do you have your
Not
own
same as
social
before.
media? Same as before? Okay.
Yeah, same as before. But if they want, because I know my aunt is very busy. If they want, they can reach out to you, and you can reach out to me. I mean, because we pretty much connected through my aunt anyway.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, what was I gonna say? Okay, so as we wrap up here, you can find me at Nattering with E on Instagram. We even have an email, natteringwithe@gmail.com. And like Sean just said, if you want to get a hold of Sean or if you want to get a hold of SJ, reach out to me. Eric Frieds on Twitter or Nattering with E on Instagram, and I will put you in touch. So, Sean, thank you as always, my friend, for coming on, and I'll see you all soon.
You're very welcome. The Canadian social path out.
Yeah.